What the fuck is a reboot?
Hello, welcome back to Clerks Minute Reboot, the show where we're looking at the 2019 Kevin Smith movie, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake.
And I'm Kyle, and I did not see this coming.
You know what, Kyle, normally I'm the one who throws to guests, but I think this one's important to you, so why don't you throw it to our guest in this episode?
Okay, my hetero life mate and my best friend of over 20 years, Matthew Polson. How you doing, Matt?
Doing really good. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you.
Yes. It's funny, because when I asked you to be on the show, we didn't actually discuss what minutes we were throwing you on, but I'm like, I got these minutes at the end of the movie that no one has taken yet, and we could have some fun with this. Like, we could have a lot of fun here. Well, before we get to that, I'm going to talk about your history with this movie. Have you the first time you've seen this movie, was that asking you to be on the show, or did you see the movie beforehand?
I saw this movie once it actually hit on, I forgot if it was Prime Movie or if it was somewhere else that
it's
I
been on Prime. It's been on Prime ever since.
But when I, yeah, and honestly, it's like, it's one of, like, Jay and Silent Bob was one of my favorite things. Like, you know, Clerks was great. Clerks 2, love that. So basically most of the Kevin Smith stuff, absolutely love and adore watching those movies. So when I heard about the reboot for Jay and Silent Bob, I'm like, I need to see that. But I needed to wait for it to come out into a streaming service. So when it came out, I watched it the moment it came out. So I only watched it one time. This is the second time, and I only really watched the minute that I was going to be covering.
Fair enough.
Minutes.
Fair enough. Well, I have to say, this is definitely, as Kyle said in our intro, this is a strange turn of events in this movie. This is a strange turn of events that we're getting into here. Aye, aye, aye. What? Let's set us back up. We are obviously still on the stage, and when we last left you, Shen Yu, pulled a gun on fake, or Silent Bob, fake Kevin Smith, and that's a weird sentence I just said.
I can't remember if I said this last bit or not, but it felt like what many critics wanted to do to him after seeing Yoga Hosers.
I think you did, but it still works here. It still works. So the funny part is, she pulls a gun on Bob. Bob gets carried away. It's so funny. He's just really hysterical that he gets carried away like that. And then she takes over. Like, she planned this. This is so ridiculous.
She played everybody like a fiddle.
Are you going to say something, Matt?
Yeah.
No, you guys are good.
That's fine. Okay. So we just cut to Jay. Jay's so funny. Jay thinks this is part of the film. That's the best part. Jay is, like, still thinking this is part of the movie. He's not, like, realizing this is real.
He'd be the kind of guy who would see an explosion right now and say, wow, this one's got really good 3D.
Oh, yeah, I'll throw a joke in there. Remember, what was it? Phineas and Ferb, the first movie, the first Ferb in the second dimension.
Across the second dimension.
Yeah, second dimension. And Candace goes to find their parents, because of the whole carrot. Candace and your mom, and they go to they're in a movie theater watching a movie with 3D glasses on, and the robots are flying through the movie theater. They're like, wow, this movie has great 3D. That's literally the first thing I thought of when you said that. So. That's fantastic. So we have to get the villain explaining her plot, which is hysterical here. She's not a teenager from China. I have to note this real fast. This did not age well. This whole scene did not age well. Because I don't know what's going to be happening when this episode airs. Obviously, this episode airs by the end of June or early July. But when we're filming this, we're right in the heat of the Ukraine-Russian war. Right when they're filming this.
Ukraine.
Recording this. What did I say?
You said UK.
We're right in the heat of the Ukraine-Russian war. And, this did not age well. I guarantee Kevin's been harassed for this one. But, we find out that she is a secret agent from Russia. And I love Jay's reaction. Pays off from earlier in the movie that he swore one of them was wearing a cat suit. Of course, that would pay off.
And I remember in the theater going, going, please be 18, please be 18, please be 18.
Well, I can guarantee you that, like, Harley Quinn Smith was in her 20s when they filmed this, so I guarantee all the friends around her would be
okay,
too.
Good.
Like, I could almost guarantee it. I'm looking it up real fast. But, yeah, I'm not 100% sure how old she is, but I know that Harley is in her 20s.
Okay.
She's 22 now, and this is 3 years ago. She's 19. She's like 19 or 20.
I'm very confused right now.
So.
Yeah, and I actually, I admit, the aging of this movie is not good in this situation. And the whole concept of it was mainly in regards to the Trump situation, where they were saying that, you know, Russia's trying to horn in on the election.
Right.
This was just another playoff in that situation anyway. But unfortunately,
in all honesty,
current circumstances.
In all honesty, considering how buddy-buddy Russia and China are getting right now, I think this actually aged rather well.
That's scary when you think about that. Yeah. That is terrifying, actually. By the way, we throw Kevin out. I'm sorry, Bob outside. I've been confused until we get to the end of the movie, because there's so much. This is not the most confusing scene. When we had Bob versus Kevin in the last scene, that was confusing as it was. This is even more confusing. So Bob gets thrown outside. And I love the fact that there just happens to be a heavy metal scrapyard right across at the convention hall.
Yeah, slogan, our scrap is metal, man.
But I love how metal is underlined. Metal!
So, our scrap is metal, man.
Much better. Much better.
can we take a little moment to discuss Shandu's cover identity here?
Go ahead.
Here. Okay. You're a secret agent from Russia. You want to pose as an innocent-looking teenager. Why do you pose as somebody who seems like they stepped out of The Grudge or The Ring or something like that? That kind of creepy thing.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a valid question. So Matt, what do you think?
Wouldn't that kind of invite more scrutiny?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, she did the long hair. The whole concept is that usually the shy introverted, especially in traditional, like, anime, Japanese things, they always have long hair, hide their face because they don't want to be seen. They're introverted. So while she had the kind of the Ring Grudge kind of concept with her hair going on, it really was more to play on the aesthetic of being like the shy, quiet loner kind of type, which is what she was doing when she was in the Shanyu, you know, persona.
Although, in all honesty, what kind of just made it, the whole thing creepy was her constantly speaking to the mic and just very cold, emotionless, and.
Yeah, but it works, though. But it works because of what they were trying to do. Like Matt said, it really does work. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And this is where we had the line, we translated your elections, which is hysterical. I'm sorry. I love the fact that Kevin threw that in a movie, because that's just hysterical that he did that, because I know where he stands. That makes it even funnier. I would just say, he is anti-Trump. Just want to throw that out there. He's openly anti-Trump.
I do love how he says, and then just gives a massive death glare to the other three girls. We have infiltrated American pop culture conventions.
I love their reaction. Is why I had the same reaction when we started the theater. Why though? But why?
Although I do like the whole. Oh yeah, she got us there.
Yay! It is so ridiculous. But why? Right? Why waste your time here? I love. By the way, she asked if they get their phones out, which is a great moment. I'm not gonna lie, that's a really funny moment.
Yeah.
But then. Jay's reaction is, what if you only have a flip phone? Again, paying off earlier in this movie.
To which I have to say, not only is it paying off, it's also a valid question.
Very valid question, actually. It's a very good question.
Or what if you have one of those Nokias?
Also a very valid question.
Who has a Nokia anymore?
Who has a flip phone anymore?
Well,
there are people who still have flip phones. To be completely honest with you, I can at least argue that one. They do tend to be in the more elderly community. However, flip phones are still a thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Or Star Trek fans, just so they can get the feel of the old communicator.
That's a good point. That's valid. That's for cosplay. I'm talking about for use. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, for use.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But again, though, you're in cosplay.
They do actually have Bluetooth tricorders.
Awesome.
Well, there you go.
You know, random commentary.
I'm waiting for phaser laser tag.
I love the fact that Kevin always gives shit to the movie Jersey Girl, even though it wasn't that bad of a movie. It was not bad. Like, he just loves giving shit to it, even though he can. He's raised here to give a shit to Yoga Hosers and Tusk. So why not give shit to Jersey Girl as well? Why the hell not? So Kevin, Kevin Smith, not Kevin as in Silent Bob, who's currently outside. Kevin has no idea what's going on at the stage. He has zero clue because he was knocked out by Millie earlier. So he comes out, and all that he knows is he's being dragged out and he's getting a gunshot put into his head. Like, wow, how high he must feel right now.
I'm trying to think of a weirder situation that he what could have been in when he came down from a high.
But the he's not coming down from it. He's just high.
Maybe that one time that he woke up in the backyard in his bathrobe talking to Elvis.
Okay. You make that joke.
Yeah.
You make that joke. And you don't even realize how accurate that joke truly is right now. So I'll tell this story. You don't know this. Kevin Smith fans know this one. Kevin took his mom, Grace, to Graceland for her birthday this past year. And when he came back from Graceland, on the Fat Man Beyond and on Hollywood Babylon, he was obsessed with the history of Elvis. Like, to the point where the first almost hour of the first Fat Man Beyond after this trip would literally, in the show notes, it said, from this point to this point, Elvis talk. It was literally 57 minutes of Elvis talk.
It's kind of like me when I discover something, you would just kind of throw myself into
it. It was so hysterical. And then on Babylon, Ralph started making fun of him because, like, okay, but another Elvis story, more Elvis facts, really, more Elvis facts. it's been going on for 3 weeks now on Babylon. So, as of this moment, when this is recorded, I say that because I know when this airs, all the shows are pretty much be on hiatus because of all the con circuits. So, like, if you go back to March, you'll hear all this on the Babylon feed. So, But that's using Elvis. The first thing that came to mind is Kevin's recent obsession with Elvis. So by the way, so we cut to the screen where Shang Yu is holding the gun to Kevin, and this is actually the screen that comes up when you press play on Amazon Prime Video. This is the screen that comes up.
Yeah.
Like, this is the scene that pops up, the picture of him looking at the camera while he's holding the gun to his head. Like, if you didn't press the button, you didn't see the movie, you're like, what the fuck?
Hey, you, in the crowd, what the hell are you doing sitting there? Save me!
I know, but it's just so funny that that's the picture they chose to use when you press play on the movie. When you write the movie out for the first time.
$10 says it was Kevin's idea.
I would love to know, because it's so funny. Like, I noticed that the first time he started doing this.
Given his penchant for self-deprecating humor, he probably had them do that.
Yeah, it is a very funny moment. I noticed that the first thing, I was waiting for this scene to mention that on the air. But I noticed that the first time we started working, like months ago, we were working on this movie.
And I just love the, holy fuck, ow.
So
I love that bit too, the just like, ow.
It's a natural reaction though.
it is, but the fact of the matter being like, he's not concerned that he has, apparently that concern he has a gun to his head. He's just kind of like, okay, that's fine, but ow, did you have to slam it against my head so hard?
That's so true. This is a valid point. So she threatens to shoot him. And my favorite part is the fact that it has nothing to do, he has no clue what's going on. So he thinks it's because he's a proud George wearer. What? Come on, Kevin.
Oh, okay, seriously, you go right to that?
That's his first thought. That's his first thought.
No, I'd understand if he were wearing Zubas.
Oh my god. But George didn't look, obviously, but like, it's just so funny that that's the thing he jumps to.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, I mean, if he actually is baked at this exact moment,
which he probably is,
he's not going to literally be thinking straight and clearly, so obviously you're going to be like, is it because of the shorts, man? Like, really?
Although I thought the having a gun to your head would kind of sober you up rather quickly.
Very, very, very
not. Which,
no, no.
Which leads to conclusions that maybe this happens to him more frequently.
Just maybe it's maybe something in the home life.
Well, no, I would not. I would never.
Yeah.
I would never ever. I would never ever blame Jen for wanting to shoot him. I would never want to say that.
That's one of those where you just go, just take a number and get in line.
You know what? That's fine. That's actually a fair point. It's a very fair point. So as we mentioned many times on this show, I love the fact that Kevin writes this script openly making fun of himself. Like, openly making fun of himself. Because he actually says to him, you're an overrated American pop culture celebrity. Which might only be a little true.
Yeah.
Who repeats himself artistically, if you want to do, even do what you call it. He gets so insulted. He gets so fucking insulted.
Although, that's my favorite part.
Although in defense of Kevin, at least he's actually contributed something to film or something like that. While say people like Kim Kardashian have contributed nothing.
Well, she contributed something to the porn market. There you go.
Yeah, that's about the only thing that she contributed to.
Actually, I just realized something. We have not been on the air to discuss this one. That Clerks got put into the National Registry. And we did not talk about that on the air. I forgot about that. Yeah, it's the first time we talked about this. That Clerks actually, during our like couple of years hiatus here, Clerks got put into the National Registry.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, yeah. Not bad for a little indie movie that, you know, we thought would not ever take off.
Yeah. It got put in there based on the fact of his historical nature of film. So that's pretty cool. Like, that's a really cool thing. We covered a film that's in the registry. How cool is that? How cool is that?
it's almost kind of like how unlikely of a cult phenomenon Newsies became.
No, not really. Because of the movie took off because of my age range. I'll explain that real fast. As a Newsies fan, I'll explain. When that movie came out, it's not a good movie. I'll openly admit that now in my almost 40, over 40 when this airs. It's not a good movie. It's not. The music is fantastic, but it's not a good movie. That movie happened when it happened. It came out, people my age, it came out right when Beauty and the Beast came out. And a lot of theaters put it in the double feature. So you did not expect to see Newsies. You went to see Beauty and the Beast, you got Newsies. And a lot of people my age, especially the girls, were like, holy shit, those guys are hot. And for me, I'm a musical person. I love the music. So it was the right time frame for the right people. It's not really, it just seems like a lot of people are like, wow, I can't believe that's so popular. Well, then when they put it on Broadway, it sold out at the freaking at the theater within a week, within hours. So, like, it's not really surprising. So, anyway.
Yeah, speaking from, just because we're going on this random tangent.
Good.
I mean, I saw Newsies, the movie, after you mentioned it to me, Blake.
Right.
I didn't know it existed. So I ended up watching it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a great movie. The music was good.
I loved
the music.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, the story wasn't that great.
Well, you know what's better? The Broadway show on Disney Plus is better. And I'll openly admit that. The Disney Plus version has the Broadway version, and it's better. Because they fixed a lot of potholes, and they added more music, and the songs make more sense. And, like, they fixed a lot of things on the Broadway show, and then Jeremy Jordan is just amazing.
Then again, I think a lot of the problems came from the fact they added the songs late.
True. Very true. But you have Alan Menken. That helps.
Yeah.
It helped. They have Alan Menken.
I've had a lot of problems with the film.
I agree. I'm agreeing with you. It wasn't meant to be a musical, but it turned into a musical. I agree with you 100%. But between Broadway, it became a phenomenon. Like, it's a Tony Award-winning show.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Tony Award-winning show at the end of the day for choreography. So
it's kind of the opposite situation to I'll Do Anything, where they filmed it as a musical and then cut all the musical numbers out.
Fair. Yeah. Very fair. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to this. He gets so insulted because she said she desperately grabbed onto the 90s, which, hey, isn't that all of us, really? I live on 90s on 9. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to bullshit that. Like, half of my personal playlist is 90s music.
And I just want to take a moment here because I love Kevin's oh crap expressions.
Yes, his face acting as Kevin is amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
because it's just so natural. It makes you feel like he's been in this situation before.
Oh, 100%. Well, I love the fact that his line is, you've been talking to my wife. Which is a great line. Oh, man. So she
The one part that I like, too, is like when the gun gets pulled on him and it's like, oh, she wants her money back for watching yoga hoses.
Oh, my God. It's funny. It's just, they have to throw the jokes out there. They have to do it.
That probably happened several times to Joel Schumacher for people wanting their money back for Batman and Robin.
I'm just going to sit there. For more comments.
I like Batman and Robin. I didn't really have that many issues with it.
I recently rewatched it because I was over on Batminute and they covered that movie. And I had the Batminute guys on a few weeks back. And I actually really like that movie now. I really, really enjoy that movie now.
I think, don't get me wrong,
like, is it the best Batman movie that's ever existed?
No, but it's fun. When you realize they're just doing a 1966 spoof, then you have fun with it.
I think that happens now that the 60s series has a more wide.
I agree. 100% I agree.
And besides, it's fun, unlike Batman versus Superman, which was...
Here we go.
Which was way, 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 way too serious.
And for people listening, no, we have not seen the Batman yet, so just clarify that. I do plan on seeing it. I just figured, for people listening, when this is recording this, it hasn't come on streaming yet, and I'm not going to spend money in a movie theater when it's going to be on streaming like a month later. I'll just wait for it to be on streaming. That's the point.
Oh, come on. Don't you want to see Edward Cullen Batman?
I do. On streaming at home, I'm in my chair. Not in a movie theater. In my chair, I want to watch it. Well, because it's on HBO Max, and it gets you back for free.
Well, the difference between this and Twilight is that Robert Pattinson is actually giving a shit about the Batman.
True. Very true.
Yeah, which is also what he did with playing Cedric Diggory for the very short period of time in Goblet of Fire. So.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to our movie. Oh, well, wait, before I forget, Batman and Robin, go plug it. Batminute. Go over to thebatminute.com and go enjoy Batminute. They covered Batman and Robin a minute at a time. And I'm on the show around the beginning of the movie when they had the hockey scene from hell, as we called it. The hockey team from hell scene at the beginning of the movie.
Kill the heroes!
Didn't have to do that. But so yeah, go listen to that. My buddies John and Niall. John's one of my best friends in podcasting now, so go listen to his show. I know what movie they're doing next, but I don't know if they've announced it yet by the time this episode airs, so I'm not gonna say, but I know the next movie and it's really, really cool. Right. I'm really excited. Actually, I'll edit it out of here. They're doing Max of the Fast Handsome next. So
I just saw CJ and I watched that one.
Yeah, I have to rewatch it. I haven't watched it in a long time. I gotta rewatch it.
Oh yeah. CJ, he was like, I want Avengers, and then as the movie went on, he got more and more into it.
Yeah, I gotta watch it again because I had been asked to be on the show, so I gotta rewatch it. I gotta rewatch it.
Okay, I think his opinion of it changed once he first saw the Phantasm.
Yeah, okay. But let's get back to this because I don't wanna because I don't know if they've been up to yet.
And I love Shan Yu's little motive rant here.
Oh yeah, hold on. Let's bring us back.
Yeah.
Now go ahead.
Okay. Billy says that she's not going to get away with this, and then we start with, oh, but Millennium, you already helped me. I catfished you online so I could harness the liberal sympathies of broken young women.
Which, by the way, that sentence alone is hilarious because it's so ridiculous but so funny at the same time. Yeah. Like, come on.
Hope to fill the deep emotional void by a sibling who tries to kill you.
He's reading the script. He's reading the lines off the screen, by the way, so people know.
Or the solitude of silence.
Yeah, this is as slow as she said it.
Or worse in your privileged life, crying about the father who left you before you were even born.
So, as I mentioned earlier, we had to have the villain monologue.
Yeah.
We had to have her monologue.
And she really did wind up just, you know, getting on target with that.
And you know what, though? I give her credit. She covered everybody. She covered everything and everybody there. But then, Kevin, I love Kevin here. Sick fucking bird. Okay, I'll shut up. I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah, she has a gun.
I just gotta love how this is him commenting on his own writing. We're getting it's so incredibly meta.
We discussed how meta this movie truly is. But then, we have this whole hokey scene. She's picked a gun out. She's done her own monologue. We have evil villains in the fucking crowd. We have all this crazy shit going on. But this is the moment where Jay decides to reveal the secret that's been holding down this entire movie. That he is actually Billy's dad. And this whole sequence is amazing. Because you wonder how she didn't catch on to this sooner. Like, how did she not catch on to this at all?
Well, I don't know. How did she not catch on to the fact that Jay and Silent Bob were the inspirations for Blunt Man and Chronic?
Fair enough. We explained that. Yeah. We actually explained that earlier. Yeah. She did not even know who they were. She was following them along for their friends, as we covered that earlier. Yeah. So that's fair. Yeah. Here, though, they've been together for fucking weeks now at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you would think they'd be able to figure out who they are. So this is where Jay tells her, and her reaction is fantastic. I have to give Harley Quinn a lot of credit for acting here. As we said earlier in the film, she's actually trying to act.
Yeah.
Unlike everybody else in this movie. She's actually acting. And she was amazing here. Like, absolutely fantastic at this reveal of... Now, here's the best part. Apparently, people tell... People when Harley was growing up and Kevin and Jay went out with Harley, they would think Harley was Jay's, which is why this is in the script. Which is why this is in the script, because people thought that Harley was Jay's kid.
In all fairness, she really eerily looks more like him.
Yeah. She really looks a lot more like Jen, but I can see the point. Yeah. I can see the point was made here.
Yeah.
So this is where Jay goes a little too far. I always say, too far. Too far. He goes and says, I had to break this promise, because you can't keep every promise you keep. Fair. Or you wouldn't be here. And then he goes and says, I cannot believe he actually says this to now, who he's saying is his daughter. That if I made a promise to your mom that I wouldn't come in her. Why would you say that to your daughter? Like, what the fuck? Come on.
He just got so into the moment.
I know. Come on, Jay. Too far. And Kevin's reaction is like, oh, fuck. Oh, I forgot to mention the part where Jay actually says, my name. Oh, well, we haven't gotten to that part yet. We haven't gotten there yet. But he gets closer. And he says, I'm going to get to the guy with the big-ass gun. And he asks for the gun. But the gun is fake, obviously. But I love Kevin's reaction. Kevin's reaction is so funny. He's so over the top excited about this fake gun.
But to interject a little bit, though.
Go for it.
Like, while I agree, like, okay, too far, like, the key point is even stated by him is, I know, it's more like, kind of like, I know it was, but I just needed to, like, kill time to get that big-ass gun. So it's like, even he knew that it was really probably pushing it to go a little too far to say things, but he is not the smartest man in the world to come up with fly shit off the cuff.
Very true. So. Very, very, very true. But Kevin's reaction is amazing. Absolutely fucking priceless. But then when he realizes the gun is fake, Kevin's reaction back is even better.
Why would it be real?
No! I'm sorry. Kevin's facial expression is kind of everything. Okay, I need to know, because Kevin obviously directed this movie. Like, did he tell himself, go as ham up as fuck as fucking possible? Like, this is so hammed up. Like, it's so over the top. Ay, ay, ay.
But I have to say, I think, honestly, Jay expecting that it was actually a real gun is more also based off of, like, the stuff that he's been through. I mean, because if you think about it, the Jay and Silent Bob universe, God is a woman, angels and demons exist, he's been a party to, like, jewelry crime robberies where random stuff just starts happening to him. Like, he's had a very interesting life.
Encountered a giant shit monster.
Someone in a convention actually has a real gun.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, it's absolutely fair. But I forgot
to add Witness the Donkey Show.
Yes, Witness the Donkey Show. That happened too.
That happened.
We dealt with that for 2 weeks on the show. Go back to that guy. The first 2 minutes. That was a bizarre week of our lives that we experienced with that. Oh, yeah, that was a bizarre week of our lives. I'm not going to lie. That was strange. I don't even know the strange thing that happened in that movie, but that was a strange week.
And I just love his line, before we offer Big Daddy any last heartfelt words before we stop his heart.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kevin, though, again, with the face acting next to her, like, oh, shit. Someone's going to die in front of me. Someone's going to die. For real.
And it's not my career.
Ooh. Well played. So, he goes and says, she's like yelling at him that you're going to kill me too.
Holy shit, you're right. Somebody save me.
Ay, ay, ay. So that's when the pound. All right, now it's when the pounding starts outside.
Yeah.
And this. this will pay off, obviously, in the next episode. This will pay off in the next episode.
And we got the nice little RoboCop shout out with the pounding.
That's where we got. That's where we're at. Yeah. We're at the pounding part. We're here. But this is the reveal I mentioned earlier. I realized I was ahead of myself. When he goes and says, I am not Ted Underhill. And the fact that Kevin's reaction, oh, fuck, he's got a secret identity.
And he'll talk about before that with the pounding is, who says that Ted Underhill?
Hey, yay. So he finally, after all this time, since the opening of this movie, finally gets to start through the line, allow me to introduce myself. I'm Jay, and this is my hetero life mate, Iron Bob. Which, wait, what? What the fuck are we doing?
And in full Iron Man Mark I style armor.
Yeah, I remember in the theater, everybody freaked out. Like, everybody in the theater was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Complete with trench coat.
Yes, that's the best part. That is absolutely the best part. Trench coat makes it.
I would kill to have Kevin Smith recreate the my turn scene with the flamethrowers.
Ay, ay, ay. But that is where our minutes end, and we will get into the rest of the Iron Bob scene and the end of the movie, actually, because we're almost done with the movie. We're almost done. We only have literally 6 minutes left in this movie before credits, before this movie's over, which is crazy. So, before we get into that, Matt, any other thoughts on this movie before we continue on here?
Honestly, it's like this movie was one of, like, because of the whole meta thing, like, they're really pulling from like every reboot, everything that's ever pulled out. I honestly got to love this movie. And I think it's probably what ended up giving Bill and Ted the Bill and Ted movie the push it needed to go into making their version of the reboot as well.
True.
Is very what I true. Feel personally.
I can agree with that. I could totally agree with that. Overall, though, this is definitely a hell of an ending to Minutes here. This is a hell of a way to go in. And I appreciate them ending the Minutes right there perfectly for us so we can continue on. And our next episode, which will be our final episode with guests, will be with Travis Bowe and Robert E.G. Black. I know for a fact Robert had never seen the movie before asking to be this, so this should be a lot of fun in our next episode that he's coming in for the ending craziness of this film. Normally, I throw it to my guest and say plug stuff, but obviously, Matt, you don't do podcasts, so you just do our shows.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I may want to do a podcast, but yeah, it's too soon for me to be anywhere near that at this point.
Fair enough. Well, you know where to find anybody if you need help. as per usual, you can hear me every single Friday at theblakeandsalshow.com. You can hear The Blake and Sal Show with Mark, and we are having a lot of fun over there. As a matter of fact, we are just coming out of, we're in the middle of this crazy month of television where WWE is doing 2 stadium shows in 3 weeks, which I don't understand how they're going to pull this off, but they're doing it. So go over there and listen to us try to figure all this weird shit out. But till next week, as I said, we'll have Travis and Robert here. Till next time, thank you so much, Matt, for spending time with us here and coming back for this movie.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I guess we should get out of here ourselves. I think I got to turn my microphone up before the next episode. So, let's get out of here. Thank you all for listening to the Clerks Minute Reboot. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good day, everybody.
I'm Jay, and this is my hetero life mate, Iron Bob.
Noinch, 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 smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, beers, rolling fatties, smoking blunts, who smokes the blunts, rolling blunts and smoking.